Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Brooklyn advances with their win over the Celtics. They dispatched Boston in five, and now they will play the Milwaukee Bucks in the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. That begins game one Saturday night in Brooklyn. And I think we can all agree that's probably going to be, at least you hope it will be, billing to be the best series that we'll get in the Eastern Conference, just because of the matchup and because of how compelling it's going to be. The Bucks, a team that has been on the cusp of championship contention for a couple of years, waiting for them to make that next step. This might be their biggest challenge, and can they be up to that challenge? Then there's the big three of Brooklyn, averaging 85 points a game in their first round series against the Celtics. And Jay, you're not really taking the Celtics seriously, like, as far as like, yeah, all right, but this is the test for the Nets.
Oh, this is their biggest test thus far. I mean, for a team that hasn't really gelled yet, that still has to – look, every team has to go through growing pains. This year, you had KD was out for a little bit of time.
Yep.
You had Kyrie that's gone through different things. You had James Harden was out for about a month and a half. So now they're actually finding a rhythm against a team that is retooled in P.J. Tucker, Bobby Portis, Bryn Forbes, Jrue Holiday, like, bring an element of toughness to this team and shooting to this team. So that matchup between Giannis and Kevin Durant,
that's
prime time. That's prime time. Jrue Holiday and James Harden.
You got MVPs going head to head. That's special.
Yeah. Exactly. And James Harden is the one guy that makes the offense. He unlocks it for Brooklyn. So seeing how Coach Bud, who look, I think how they play in this series will determine if Coach Bud is the coach of the Bucks next year.
Wow. What if we see clean, smooth play from Brooklyn where they're just kind of coasting along and getting it done, and Milwaukee, on the other hand, is what we've seen the last 3 years?
I think Coach Bud is done.
No, I mean, what? Not even necessarily the coach, the makeup of the team. Do you now all of a sudden start to say, oh, here we go again, Giannis is –
on his point, if this is a close series, we expect it to be scratch and claw, which means last 2 minutes, big possessions, big shots. Who has the big shot makers? Is Giannis a guy that gets it done late, even on the free throw line? No, he hasn't proven to be that guy. Brooklyn's got three guys that can do that. So there's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you get to the last 2 minutes of these games and it's a close game, we think this will be a tight series, the upper hand. And that's where, again, more of that Giannis, you know, criticism will come out. Is can you get it done in crunch time? Because he hasn't been able to do that.
Well, he's not the crunch time player. I think we've recognized that, haven't we?
So how
that player is Chris Middleton. I mean, he's been the guy who has the ball in his hands.
He was against
when
the
they need to make big shots. I mean, he was even last year.
But they got three versus one.
Yeah.
You guys are talking to me like I'm picking Milwaukee to win this thing. I never came out and said that.
Well, we're just asking you for you're the basketball expert.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Y'all coming at me like
challenging
you. He's saying he's like,
but you're the basketball expert. That's why I want to get your response.
I still have Brooklyn winning. I just think that, you know, for anybody that thinks they're going to just walk in this series and win it and gentleman sweep, like, I don't think that's the case.
Okay. So you think it goes seven games?
I think it goes six or it goes seven.
I'll tell you what, I can see also if they win this series, I could see them going like – because if the Lakers look the way they look, and they lost last night, they got blown out last night, Anthony Davis being injured. And how about this, by the way? So if you don't want to – you know, LeBron's saying we got our ass kicked twice. He said it twice in postgame. So, okay, you see how he feels. And Snoop Dogg, who's pretty big Lakers fan.
Fasheezy.
Yeah, okay.
For sure.
He went to Instagram, and he said this.
He always goes to Instagram.
He said, never thought I'd say it, but we sorry. I want to say it like he says it. We sorry.
We sorry.
We sorry.
West Coast.
And, yeah, that's a West Coast thing. And the Clippers better than us. Frank Vogel can't coach. And what?
Because we left some off of the
we left
some out. Yeah.
Sorry, AF.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. You're missing that last part.
Yes.
He said Frank Vogel can't coach, and he wants to know why
Trez isn't playing.
Montrezl Harrell.
Great question.
And get no run. And then he said, this is heartbreaking. AD hurt more than Mary J. Blige records.
You know what he means by that,
yes.
Right? Mary J.
Well,
Mary J.
I'm
used to,
not going to cry.
When she was in
going
that,
through pain.
Going through that pain. That was the Mary J. we wanted.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
but he said he called the Lakers soft.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way, but I would hate to, and Snoop is my dude, but I would hate to call professional athletes off. But every time you look up, falling on the ground, something wrong with you, get a scratch, you got to go in the locker room, come back out. I mean, to the point where even the Diesel and Charles Barkley was making fun on TNT about the Lakers and Anthony Davis, about Advil and Icy Hot and street clothes, nicknames, things of that nature. It's just like, God, but this is, you know, I feel bad for AD because the moment that you think he's gotten over that, then all of a sudden this happens.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think he got over anything. I think he was just playing through injury. He can still be dominant with injury.
Well, play through injury again then.
I understand that. We're on the same page. I did have a question I want to get both of your unfiltered opinions about because I think it's just really interesting. We haven't really discussed
it. Is that the name of a show, Unfiltered?
I don't know. There's always some kind of un-something. I don't know. A lot of un-something shows. How'd you guys feel about LeBron walking out with 5 minutes left to go in the game?
I mean, I don't.
He went through the tunnel and nothing big was made of it. So yeah. I don't know if he returned because he did. You did see him at the end of the game. You didn't see him at the end of the game with the group when the final buzzer was there.
I got to be honest. I didn't have the game on at the end. Yeah, I was too busy watching. Yeah.
Once that
Portland and Denver play. Yes, but I think that would be interesting show. Even did he come to back? Have people call in and tell us what they think.
I don't know
that.
If he came back. By the end, it was over with for me. I wasn't sitting there watching.
So we see him right now.
Yeah, I think.
But what I would say is
that's fourth quarter, 5 minutes, 41 up 30. No, he didn't come back.
If he did come back, cool. Maybe some reason he went to locker room. But if he didn't come back, the reason I don't like it is because what we're doing right now, we're having a conversation about it. So it looks bad, right? It just looks like you are so frustrated with being around your teammates, being in a position to get worked by 30 that you don't want to be a part of what's going on, and you're trying to separate yourself from a disaster.
They got worked by
30.
And
I don't like that for him.
Right.
Like, I just, you know, you could have sat on the end of the bench and put your towel over your face maybe and then decided. Now, if he had to go in there based on them team doctors or something telling him to go and let's go in now, then that's a different story. But if he just went in on his own and he just decided, say, man, I ain't got time for this, that's something different.
Yeah. And if he did come back or not, because I do think I saw him on the court end of game with his teammates, so he might have come back. But it's just the look is what it is. But, you know, Jay, you said he had to be Space Jam 3, that he had to be, you know, everything. He had to be, you know,
when
Superman in this
Space
game.
Well, his teammates,
Dennis Schroeder going 0 for the game, that's a major problem. KCP comes back from injury and he's just not effective. Yeah, I mean, you just could see that they just didn't have whatever they needed. And that includes the effort. I mean, you know, Snoop said heart. I mean, you know, you're missing a lot of that stuff. In a game that was a pivotal game, Key, what I said yesterday, though.
We ride on them, though. That's how we are.
Are you guys,
the star player always gets, he always gets.
What I was saying, though, is that, look, when LeBron has 25 and 7 or 8, like for a normal player, that's a great game. It's a great game, mm-hmm. 25 and 7, mm-hmm. right? But we're watching things like what Dame did, or we're watching things like what Jason Tatum has done, right? Like you're looking for those monumental games. And my only thing is,
if
like,
look
LeBron,
like
25 and 7, is those are pedestrian numbers. We know LeBron can do that in his sleep.
Right.
Right? So you're wondering, like, does LeBron, like, what's the next gear for LeBron? Like, does – and that's
can
a
he
legit
get there?
Question at 36.
Can he get there?
I think he can.
But I also believe that, and it's just something that I believe as an athlete that had played at a high level professionally, that when you feel like you got to carry – night in and night in and night in over and over and over again, you get somewhat dejected at some point, right? At some point, it's like, damn, I got to do this again? And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, man, I made the pass. The dude didn't cut. He stood there. So now all of a sudden, nothing is going right. Nothing is going right at all. I'm trying to hit shots. And early in the game, he knocked down a 30-something foot straight from the middle bottom of the net.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he came down the court, they passed with the ball again. He didn't even give it to Egypt. Boom! And it went out of bounds. So that told me right then and there, he felt that he had to put it all on his back one more time. And that's a lot of weight to carry. I don't give a damn how big he think his shoulders are. At some point, it's tiring. Now, he may come back in game 6 and put it on the shoulders, which I believe he will at Staples. I believe he will.
I'm telling you, it is definitely now all of a sudden becoming that the reality of him being out in the first round changes everything, obviously in the West, but I also think for the East, for the Nets, I mean, if that's a team that you won't have to face in the finals,
does it
so much changes.
Would it change your perception of LeBron James?
No.
Him going out in the first round?
No. Not at all.
Okay. I got so tired of him saying,
I'm with you too.
LeBron James has never lost 14 straight in the first round. I'm like, okay, so what? He might lose this
one. I really enjoy
one.
Your announcer voice.
Because that's what some – I don't even remember what it was, but I just heard it, and it was making me very angry at the television set.
All right, let me do my announcer voice here. It's Keyshawn J. Will Zubin is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance.
Next up.
So let's talk something positive about baseball, something great that baseball is doing today, June 2nd. And it is just an amazing thing that is happening all around the sport right now. They're calling it Lou Gehrig Day. What you'll have in games today all around the league is taking a moment not only to reflect on Lou Gehrig and his impact on the sport, but also on ALS, which is also had been known as Lou Gehrig's disease and something that does afflict many, many Americans. And the idea is that each team's going to have their own ceremonies, but you're also going to have a featured ballpark moment with ALS advocate Steve Gleason from the NFL, from his career there, who is also has ALS. And in this video as well, you will have a narration by Cal Ripken Jr., who, as everybody knows, broke Lou Gehrig's incredible record of consecutive games played. And we are fortunate to have Cal Ripken Jr., the Hall of Famer, join us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Cal, first and foremost, it's great to have you. Good morning. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, good morning and happy Lou Gehrig Day.
Right. Very much so. And can you tell us in your, you know, from your experience, just the importance of having a day like this, your connection probably for the rest of your life and beyond to Lou Gehrig as well, just how important this is for the league to do this?
Well, I think it's a fantastic idea. When you use the collective power of a sport as big as Major League Baseball, you know, to shine the light on ALS, I think it's fantastic. And you have one of your most celebrated players, one of the best players ever to play the game in Lou Gehrig. And he might even be a better off the field person than he was an on the field person. And the way that he handled the news of getting ALS and his life was ended 2 years afterwards, you know, the grace in which he did that, and his, I'm the luckiest guy on the face of the earth in that speech, you know, he's done so much for ALS. So probably his legacy is less about being a baseball player and more about, bringing awareness to ALS. So my connection to him is obvious. You know, I went after, I ended up breaking a record that was thought to be unbreakable. And during that process, I got to learn about Lou Gehrig a little bit. And I got compared to him as a baseball player, which I thought was unfair. He's a far better baseball player than I ever was. But every once in a while, they would compare the man, Lou Gehrig, to me. And I thought that was the ultimate compliment.
I can't believe that I'm actually talking to Cal Ripken Jr. I had chills right now.
Pretty cool, right?
Oh, it's yeah. So cool. I mean, think about special. It. Earl Weaver and Eddie Murray and those guys. I was a kid. So just, God, and I'm a baseball guy. So it's like, that's what's up.
Hey, Sean, I thought you and I were the same age.
Oh, God, stop.
Somebody, I was thinking the same thing, Cal.
Did like, somebody get in your ear and say that? I got to get these grays off the side. Why, Cal, why did it take Major League Baseball so long to come to this day?
You know, I'm not sure. I know the the Ice Bucket Challenge that went around the country that got awareness. It really came from a grassroots effort. And one guy's who had the disease to say, look, I want to do something about it. And how do I get partners collected to do it? And that was amazing. And I think that success, you know, pushed another grassroots effort this time around that started with all the families and the people that had it. What can they do to help other people? And the obvious move was to get Major League Baseball involved, Lou Gehrig's disease, Lou Gehrig, best player in the league, and to have them shine their collective power on the issue, I just thought it was a wonderful thing. I mean, Lou Gehrig as a player is enough, you know, really to look at. He was the most clutch player. He was greatly respected. He had all the admiration as a baseball player, and he was the epitome of an everyday player. You know, we play and we grind it out in the sport, and it's not easy. And he went out and did it every single day, and he was the model for someone like me. So he was an inspiration for me to be considered an everyday player. He was the ultimate. So I don't know why it took them so long, but I am so glad that they did. Commissioner Manfred, I think was a big part of that. I know I had some conversations with him about it, and I just think the idea was fantastic. And each and every year, this is the first one, each and every year we'll be able to shine that light on a very horrible disease.
Kyle, Jay Will here. Is it true that you've never watched the replay of you breaking Garrick's streak until a couple of days ago? Is that true?
Well, it was this last year on the 25th anniversary. I decided that I preserved the memory of that night from my own eyes. And I thought that was pretty cool. And I refrained from, every once in a while you'd see a highlight on TV and I would turn it off right away. But I decided to sit down and watch Chris Berman, you know, and you know, we, in that 21-minute ovation, Chris didn't say a word. And I thought that was pretty interesting. But going back and watch it, I was able to take in some things that I didn't know was happening in and around me. And it was a wonderful way to go back and look on 25 years.
Cal Ripken Jr. joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Again, celebrating Lou Gehrig Day today, June 2nd. It's when his streak began. It's the whole Wally Pipp story. That's where it began. And that's why they're celebrating it at Major League Baseball right now. You can go to auctions.mlb.com, and there's plenty of great things there for the Healy Center to benefit the Healy Center for ALS. 30 autographed and authenticated Lou Gehrig Day commemorative baseballs, one for each Major League club there, and plenty of other things as well to donate and be part of a cause and a very obviously important cause. But again, Cal, your story is amazing when you think about, like you said, it was a record that people thought would be unbreakable. You broke it. And I know you've been asked this before, but as, you know, sports has evolved and, you know, we see in the NBA load management, we see in baseball how, you know, how pitchers are handled, how players are handled. Rest has become such a big part of all of sports. We always talk about records that will never be broken. Some things that, you know, again, DiMaggio's hit streak, you know, whatever you might want to consider. Yours to me now feels like the one that you even said, Lou Gehrig's unbreakable, I broke it. No one's going to break your record, not because no one will try, is that players, it's the athletes, I don't think nobody will ever be allowed to break it. Do you feel that way?
You know, in some ways you think they don't want the everyday player to be defined as 162 anymore. I think it's about, let me get the best 145 or 140 out of you, and that'll be just the same as 162. So if the mindset doesn't change, then certainly management won't allow that to happen. But there's been some guys that have pushed themselves and went to 162 and realized that they had their best year. It's not a matter of, you're going to be tired during the season no matter what. The only time you're 100% is maybe the first day you go into spring training, and then you play from somewhat less than that. As soon as you realize that you can compete at the highest level and do really well and finish strong in the month of September, less than 100%, you've proved to yourself you can play 162, and then it's a matter of just doing it each and every day. If I can do it, certainly somebody else can. And I think the value, baseball seems to, you know, every 10 years or so, they kind of revisit something that they hadn't revisited as if it was new. I think the everyday player, the value, the intangible, the everyday player will come back. And I think you'll see some people that will have their own versions of the streak. It'll take a little while to erase me, though.
I guess that's the big part of a streak is not only do you have to be durable enough to get through every game of every season, you got to be pretty good. Like, it's not like you were a guy that they were just penciling in every lineup. You were a superstar that they needed you playing every single game. And I don't know, you know, that's why I asked that question, is I don't know if the way they value players, the way they use players today, if we're ever going to see that again. That's the only reason why I asked that question, but if I could, I'll stop now making that point.
If I could add to that just a second. So I would love to have a conversation with Lou Gehrig. I mean, I had the chance to talk to Sashio Kinugasa through an interpreter. He had played 2,215 games in the Japanese league, and just talking about the grind and the approach and why it was important to him. And really, it was the same as it was important to me, is that you, it's your job. You come to the big league or come to a game ready to meet the challenges of today. You know, playoffs can come down to just one game, and it might happen in April, May, June, July, or August. And you have to be willing to make that to reach that challenge each and every day. And that's what Sasha did. And I'm certain, after I've learned more about Lou, it was less about his own personal consecutive game streak and then look how strong I am, look, I'm the Iron Horse. It was more that he had a responsibility to the team, and the team counted on him. But it'd be great to have that conversation.
I got a double barrel question for you. What can you make of what Jacob DeGrom is doing on the field for the Mets? And who, if anybody, for that matter, was a tough pitcher that you went up against in your day?
Well, it's interesting. You have 6 no-hitters already, I think, in the league this year. Mm-hmm. And when I look from afar, I'm not one of those players to say it was better when I played, because I think the athletes get better, stronger, faster, sometimes mysteriously. But and in other ways, you got the power pitcher that used to be – the power pitcher used to overpower you with his stuff. And he didn't always have the most pinpoint control. But now you're seeing power pitchers like DeGrom that not only can heat it up to 101 miles an hour, but they can hit low and away, inside, up. They just have the control to go along with that power. And when you get that going on, you know, the hitter is pretty much defeated. You have 8 guys that are play defense, you know, behind the pitcher. But when a power pitcher has it going on, he almost takes care of business all by himself.
Do you feel like the game has really gotten away from its roots, though, when you think about how much they've tried to make it appealing with the home run, and then analytics have come in and told you, oh, yeah, home runs and strikeouts, that's the way to go. You're seeing the way defenses are playing. There's wide gaps in certain areas of the infield, and yet no one's hitting for contact. No one's trying to, like, oh, you're giving me the whole left side? Let me hit there. That's gone away. There's some thought, like you've said, this every 10 years the game sort of reinvents itself. Do you feel like that will ever come back, the idea of taking that hole and putting it through, get on first base and move runners? Or has analytics taken over to a point where there's no coming back?
Well, I think you've already started to see a little bit of a change. I'd go back to watch the World Series. I've been away from the game for a little while, but I watched every pitch of the World Series last year. And you start to see small ball come back in. And a lot of the teams that have had success winning the World Series, I don't have the stats in front of me, but they cut down on their strikeouts, and they might have been the top team or the second or third team that cut down on their strikeouts. So putting the ball in play, the intangibles, small ball, hit and run, moving a runner, getting on base at crucial times. When you face the best pitchers in the league, you have to figure out how to execute and manufacture a run. Mookie Betts last year did that with his legs. The contact play, the hit and run, the sacrifice bunt almost went away. And there are times when they were appropriate. In the course of a game, you need to execute at the highest level to beat those other teams, and that's part of the game. So I see that coming back in small ways, but I was analytical when I played without all the data. But the important part is take the data and learn how to apply it so you can be a better player and also be a better team. And I think right now there might be too much emphasis on here's what we think we got, and this is a competitive advantage. Let's use it as opposed to really applying it on a day-to-day basis. But I think the game's going to come around, and they'll see the value in those small little things that you do, the intangibles of the everyday player, you know, the presence of Eddie Murray. Keyshawn, you mentioned Eddie Murray. You know, Eddie Murray was a fantastic leader by example. And if you're in Yankee Stadium and the crowd is going nuts, you've got a one-run lead, or they get a first guy on, then they get a second guy on, first and second, no outs, then all of a sudden a bunt play is called. Eddie Murray had the ability to look around to see if everybody was on the same page. Sometimes he'd call timeout and call people in and say, okay, it's simple. Successful bunt plays just to get an out. You know, we don't have to get the guy out of third base. We'll still have options. And all of a sudden you look, like we had a rookie second baseman one time, and you could see the look in his eyes. Like at that moment, he needed to be calmed down. And Eddie was that person. And so how do you place a measurable value on that presence of mind to do that so you could execute at that moment?
Yeah, yeah. And there's no analytic on emotion. There's no doubt about that. But, Cal, our emotion is that this was a thrill for us. So thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Again, the Hall of Famer. Cal Ripken Jr. on the Goodyear Hotline again.
Should have been a Dodger.
Jeez. Just not bad for an Oriole, right? Not bad for an Oriole. Again, Lou Gehrig Day today, celebrating today for the first time, the inaugural Lou Gehrig Day in baseball today, and efforts to raise awareness for ALS all around the league and, of course, all around the country. We thank again Cal for joining us here. KJZ presented by Progressive Insurance. So coming up, a double nickel in the playoffs that we've not talked nearly enough about, and maybe you didn't even see it. Well, that coming up after Jay has this from O'Reilly.
O'Reilly Auto Parts is here to keep your car on the road with the right parts, advice from their professional parts people, and their free loaner tool program. There's no need to purchase a tool if you're only going to use it once. Your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Refundable deposit required at the time of rental. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and ask about their free loaner tool program or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back to the NBA we go. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn in for Zubin. And as we discuss some NBA, let's bring in an NBA player right now. Miles Bridges, third-year player from the Charlotte Hornets, joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Miles, good morning. Got to start out with what happened last night with Dame Lillard. As a player, as a current player in the league right now, when you see a performance like that, do you even get, like, as a fan, just sits there mouth open, like, oh my God, like the shots he's making? When you're in a game, you're worried so much about competition, but as watching, do you get caught up like a fan does watching a player cook like that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's incredible to see Damian Lillard do that type of stuff. I mean, he's been doing this for years, and that just shows the work that he puts in every day. But for them to drop 55 in the playoffs with 10 assists, it just shows the credit to his work ethic.
Yo, Miles, let me ask you a real question. When you were at Michigan State doing your thing, did you expect your game to go to the next level the way it's gone to the next level this year?
I mean the work that I put into my game, and the coaches that I have, the development system with the Hornets, I felt like I just got better each year. At Michigan State, I know everybody in college was the man. But once you get to the NBA, it kind of changes. So I just had to work my way into what I'm doing right now.
Miles, you played against the Nets. You've seen them. You understand what that is and how difficult it is to guard those guys. What scheme would you put together to try to, I don't know, take out one, two, all three if you can?
I mean, it's no way you could take out all three. I mean, you have one of the best scorers ever in KD, James Harden, and Kyrie is a dynamic scorer too. So you just got to be on your P's and Q's on defense at all times, try to stay aggressive. But it's tough to stop those three guys, as you can see. But I think the Bucks they have a great defensive scheme for them. They played them well all year, so I'm excited for this season, for this series.
Dunk of the year, Miles, your dunk or the dunk of Anthony Edwards? What you got, man? What you got? Talk to me. Your dunk was real,
I don't
though,
know, man.
Your dunk was real, man.
Yeah. I would have to go with mine, just based on the fact that Clint Capella was a shot blocker. I mean, yeah. Anthony Edwards, he had his head over the rim, and that was a great dunk.
But, yeah, but can you name who he dunked on, though? So you can name who you dunked on. We know who that is. That's the difference.
Yeah, you could. His name's Utah from the Raptors, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how to say his last name.
Exactly.
No, you got it. But that's the difference between that and Clint Capella, man. Clint Capella is different. You see what he's doing to the Knicks right now.
Why'd you have to bring that up?
I'm just telling you. That's unnecessary. It's true. He's the one that talked to us.
Unnecessary to drag the
Miles.
Knicks into this right now.
Yo, Miles, what you think, Miles, is going to happen to my Lakers, man? You think we getting sent home or we going to rebound?
I don't know. I mean, for me, I have a lot of faith in LeBron. I mean, he's been putting these situations a lot of times, and he's delivered. So, for me, I'm expecting a game seven, but the Suns are looking really tough right now. But like I said, I have a lot of trust in LeBron, so we'll see how that goes.
Miles Bridges predicting the series will go seven. There's your first hot take on ESPN, Miles. So we're going to remember that one. Miles Bridges joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. I got to – you know what? And again, your third year, and you started each year just taking that step. This year, taking a huge step. A lot of eyes on you now. Everybody's got to watch that Hornets team, a really good young core. LaMelo Ball is somebody that a lot of people have watched this whole year, some arguing about whether or not he still could be Rookie of the Year despite the time that he missed. What is it about him that we don't know that you as a teammate knows that you could tell us that would make us appreciate him more?
Just what he brings to the game. I mean, when's the last time you see you could say Ben Simmons, but when the last time you seen a player that could create for his teammates, play at the pace that he does, and he puts in a lot of work. That's what people don't know about him. People just think that he's just talented, but he puts in a lot of work in the summer, and I can't wait to work with him this summer. But the passion that he brings to the game and all that, you can't teach that. So. Like I said, I can't wait to work out with him this summer and get better as the years come.
One of those guys that makes the game easier, would you say?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Miles, are you concerned with Joel Embiid's injury? And there's been so much talk about Ben Simmons not being able to shoot free throws down the stretch. You think that's a major concern for the 76ers?
For me, I feel like the 76ers have a lot of weapons. They have Tobias Harris. Ben Simmons, he's been doing a great job of playing defense for them and doing everything for them. I mean, Joel Embiid, it was a big loss for them. But I feel like they have the tools to make it one more game until he's able to hopefully come back. I mean, you hate to see a player go down like that, but I feel like they have enough tools to win their next game.
Tom Izzo, we've had him as a guest on the show. You obviously played for him. He's had interactions with players. It happened again this year. Everything's made of it. We heard Draymond Green talk about how that's just a relationship you have with a Tom Izzo. We've talked to him about it. He also said the same thing. You don't know the relationship that we have. Can you talk about your experience with him and your relationship with him?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a number of those altercations with Coach Izzo. But that just shows his passion for the game, how much he loves his players. He wants his players to succeed so bad that sometimes he just gets out of character and that happens. But I mean, us players, like Draymond said, we have that special relationship with him. So that's really not a big deal for us. That just shows how much he loves the game.
It's funny. It says a lot about, because they'll say, old people like me say, your generation can't handle tough coaching like that anymore, that everybody has to be coddled and hugged. But that isn't the case. You tend to respond to that kind of coaching as long as, of course, it comes from a good place, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's different for everybody. I feel like if I didn't have that type of coaching in college, then I wouldn't have been as determined I was to get better every day. And I feel like Coach Izzo, he did a good job of just keeping me motivated. It doesn't work for everybody, but for me and for players that are successful in the NBA for Michigan State, I feel like that worked for them.
Well, Miles, already, so we have you on record, your first hot take on ESPN. Lakers-Suns is going 7.
Who wins it?
Prediction locked.
Yeah, who wins it?
Oh yeah, we do need that.
I don't know. That's too tough to call. I just feel like LeBron's not. I don't know. I feel like he's not going to let him go out in Game 6. So we'll see, man.
All right. I like it. Great stuff, Miles. Good to talk to you. Have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, all right, MB.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, Miles Bridges on the Goodyear Hotline. Hey,
they're up and coming.
I know the Edwards dunk was impressive because of how high up he went.
No, that was the one.
That dunk on Capella was
stupid.
That was That was one of those, like, what were you thinking? And it's a good thing you got that one down.
Of course,
but what he said about LaMelo, though.
Of course,
he does make the game easier.
Capella, though. Yep.
If only there was somebody on the Knicks that could only dunk on Capella like that.
Yeah.
We could use player like that.
Sear him a little bit.
Well, I need to. He's kind of chirping a little too much. I don't like it.
You don't need to change your voice.
I keep
telling you that.
I do.
You're a New Yorker.
I do. When I
Long
get
Islander.
You turn Italian when you start.
You don't want to get mad. It's not Italian. It's New York, all right? Call the Roulette coming up next. 888-SAY-ESPN. Plus, we also have that huge development at Woj has a breaking story out of Boston. We'll discuss. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Jay Will. It's time for Caller Roulette.
You know the rules. Don't ask us how we are.
We're good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Get in, say your name, and make your point, and ask the question.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. And don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Especially you, Line 5.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hey, so you know how it goes. You don't need to say anything other than who you are, where you're from, and if you have a hot take or what your question is. Everybody's doing great. Key is so happy that the sun is shining now that he's back from his extended weekend.
Rain, go away. Come back another day.
It did today. Let's spin it. Line 5, right out of the gate.
How you doing, Michael from Queens? How you guys doing?
Hey, Michael.
What's up, Mike?
First off, happy Pride Month and Key. God bless you and your family, all right?
Appreciate it.
So I wanted to place a bet with you, Key, because this Lakers series is over, like Marcus Spears' garbage comment about the Cleveland team, all right? If the Lakers lose, or I should say when the Lakers lose, I'm going to need you to wear a Boomer Esiason jersey on the show for one day.
No.
If they don't, I will wear a New York Rangers and I'll post it.
No, because I don't care about the Rangers. So, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
No, I'm not wearing a Boomer Esiason jersey.
Why not?
Why? Because I don't like him.
Well, you never.
Well, you wore a Kevin Love jersey.
But Kevin Love, you like, I don't. So, what's the difference?
Yeah. It's also not really a great idea to do in morning radio. Okay, let's spin it.
I thought it was a good idea, Michael.
Line two. Jay always starts trolling.
Yeah, it's Robert from Virginia.
Hey, Robert.
Love you guys. I really love the show. You guys do a great job. But I don't know if you heard about the endorsement that Tim Tebow got from Trevor Lawrence saying that he's in fabulous shape.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hard worker.
He's a great teammate.
Yep.
And I think he's going to play a Taysom Hill type role and do some wildcat as well as tight end and maybe some slot and H-back.
You know, Robert.
And I think he makes a team, and I think he'll be productive.
I like what you're saying. I don't know why people just can't support Tim Tebow.
Really?
God, here we go.
I just don't understand why there's so much anger and animosity towards a guy just trying to hang on and play football for as long as he can.
You're such a troublemaker. Taysom Hill can actually throw the football.
No, it's not even a matter of what Taysom Hill can do. Taysom Hill can play football. Stop, Jay.
I'm angry.
Stop.
You're angry.
Yeah, that's what they think anyway. They think
I'm angry too. I'm with Key. I'm not putting a guy who runs a 4.8 40 in the Taysom Hill role. Like, can we actually, before we just make this role for Tim Tebow, actually understand what Tim Tebow is as a player?
Man, don't buy
Although,
it.
You know what, though?
You know
maybe,
what,
just
you
maybe.
Know what Jay maybe, is doing. Jay
maybe,
is
maybe
trying
you
to...
just want to see a guy be successful.
You know what?
Yeah!
But he looks fast.
Be
though.
Successful.
But he looks fast.
And he's strong.
So it could
and
be like
a hard worker.
Like it's like throwing a fastball, but it's really
Get
a changeup. It like gets the linebacker like he doesn't know. Like, wait.
And Evan, you're always angry at everything in life. So your point is invalid.
Why do you have to use the word angry?
Yeah, well, that's a lot of anger.
No, you.
Well, because I'm
you
describing
just
Evan.
Fingers. Hey, by the way, so the Woj tweet comes out just a few minutes ago about Danny Ainge now contemplating his future with the Celtics. Jay, what do we think about that? I mean, is he basically falling on the sword? Like it's on me. Like this failure's on me. Don't fire Brad Stevens.
I
want to
make
me.
This last couple of minutes about the callers because that should be our topic for tomorrow. Because that's
there's a lot to
for
go
all
there.
The picks that Danny Ainge
has
had.
What you take right now? You didn't get. I said it on the SportsCenter. You didn't really have a reaction yet, so I want to get your take.
Yeah, because for all the picks that Danny Ainge has had, I mean, this year has been tough, obviously with COVID, but. There's a lot of questions looming around Danny Ainge. I said it before. You can put it on coaching and Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge.
Told you that window was closed. I tried to warn you and Perk a year ago, but being the football guy on the show, I don't know basketball.
Yeah, no, you say you don't know basketball?
No.
I said that, but for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, that door isn't closed. But for the rest of the team, Kemba and Marcus Smart, the door is open.
Is that the way to save Brad Stevens, though, is to say, okay, you know, remove me, don't remove that coach? Because Brad Stevens have a job in –
Maybe he takes a different role in the front office. Maybe he becomes more of a senior advisor and somebody else
steps down.
Repositioned inside the organization.
Yeah, repositioned.
Let's spin one more time. Line three.
Hey, Donald from Nashville.
What's happening?
What up,
hey,
D?
When are we going to start giving Anthony the business, man? Every time that dude go up, man. I'm holding my breath as we go down because it's like that old lady that falls and can't get back up every time, man. And is Drummond really better than the guy we got from the Clippers? Is he really better than him?
Montrezl Harrell? I don't know. I'm not the coach.
Wow.
We'll see.
Is
Snoop will let you know. Call Snoop.
Do you have any trust issues with AD? That's the question.
No,
lots to talk about tomorrow.
That we got,
Greeny's next.
Marcus Hull.
Drummond.